Let us pray. Lord, it's not about what we do, it's not about what we feel, it's about who you are. And God, we're coming right now to live our lives to you. And we pray, God, that we will be able to accept and be transformed and empowered to be the person that you create us to be. We want to listen just to you. May your spirit be the one who speaks to all of us and through all of us. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We're in this new sermon series called Rooted, and in many ways it's about talking about where are our roots. I don't know how many of you are interested about looking and learning about your ancestors and your family. There is this website called Ancestry. Are you familiar with that? And it's mainly about learning who is your grandpa and the grandpa of your grandpa and all of this family that you have. And then when you do this, you discover that sometimes there are things that happen in your family that you are like, oh my gosh, this is like a family, like, how you say, trend, you know, like we do this often. Like I learn in my family, we have a lot of women who are very intentionally in learning. That's very strong in my family. And I wish I also want to be one of them, and I would like to teach that to my daughter. I also noticed that in my family, we have a lot of people who are like inventors or create new things. And that gives me a little bit of hope with Pedro and the Legos. And like, well, it's worth the investment because probably somehow this is going to have some good use. So we have all of those things in our families. I like this statement that says family trees have strong roots. But as we have the family, the biological family, we also have what we call a Christian or a religious family. And you and I belong to a specific denomination and a specific religion. You know which is? Is the what? The United Methodist Church, right? And many times we tend to say, you know, I don't really care a lot about the religion or the denomination, but I want to encourage you through these weeks just to learn who we are and the value of the denomination we have and what do we learn as United Methodists. One of the things we learn is we call a religion of the heart. And there is a specific statement about John Wesley bringing us to understand that we are people of the religion of the heart. What does that mean? Wesley, when he was trying to come to this relationship with God, we can see that for many years he tried to do that and he was trying to follow the right formula to do that. He was doing the right reading of books and learning. He even tried to become a missionary, came to the United States to do that, and he was not good. He wasn't successful. And in all of that, he was trying. Until there was one moment that happened in Aldersgate, that's a street, and when he was getting there, he went to a Bible study, and it was related to the letter of Romans. And when he's in that place, something special happens to him. And he says in his journal, I felt my heart strangely warm. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation. In other words, it clicked for him. Now, this could have been just an event of one person not connected with anything else. But when you think about God's economy, he did this, and just 3 days before that, Charles Wesley, his brother, had a similar experience. I love this one here. It says, May 24 is Aldersgate Day because I felt my heart strangely warm. And then you see Charles Wesley say, hey, what's up with that? My heart was warm 3 days earlier. But John Wesley's answers, look, bro, just write the songs, okay? I just write the songs. And if you learn about them, Charles Wesley wrote thousands of hymns that we still sing right now. And honestly, they are really great theology and learning. And Charles Wesley really became part of this movement of Methodism that really transformed England and is transforming many places in the entire world. So that's where we are rooted. And Wesley said this, let thy religion be the religion of the heart. That's why we want to be known, the United Methodists, as those who are the religion of the heart. Now, when we hear this statement in this present society, none of those two key words there really are appealing or probably carry the meaning that Wesley had. When we talk about religion, many times we see that even as negative. We even sometimes sing songs that says, I don't want to have a religion, I want to have a relationship with God. And when we talk about heart, many times we're thinking more about, oh, no, no, those are things that are feelings, and they kind of put me away from the right path, and they move too quickly, and we don't want to get there. But if you think about how Westlake was thinking on these two things, it's very different and actually is very meaningful and very profound. I just want to give also credit to this book. And if you want to learn more about it, I encourage you to have this book. It's called The Renewal of the Heart is the Mission of the Church by Gregory Clapper. And it's really good about teaching us to come back there. So what does this mean? It means that we are people of religion of the heart. What is important is to make a distinction between what are emotions and what are feelings, and especially how Westlake could see those as different things, and I agree with him on that. Emotions, let me try to see if I can explain it. Emotions are also called affections, and what it is reactions grounded in beliefs. Based on what you believe, you have specific emotions or affections. Now, feelings are just the expressions of those emotions. Does it make sense? Let me give you an example of that. For example, when you are married, something is clicking in me. Is that me? Is the speaker? Is the Holy Spirit? Okay, is it Wesley telling me not to preach? All right, okay, now we are. So, let me think in a couple. How many of you, I have asked this before, have been married over 40 years? In here, raise your hand. Who have been married 45? 50? 48? Really? How long, Judy and Raymond? 48 years? All right. Anyone more than 48? Where are they? Okay, 40, 50. Okay, I know who are my always super. Richard and Emma, how long? 60. This year? All right, 60. Okay. So you can clarify to me, Richard and Emma, if this is true. The emotion of being in love is one thing. The feeling is a different. What are you doing to me? I'm not going to be able to move my hands. Okay. So there are two different things, emotions and feelings. The emotion of being in love is connected to what you believe. You believe that you are married to that person for life. That's the emotion. The feeling is when you have these butterflies in your stomach sometimes when you see her or you see him, correct? Now, that feeling doesn't come all the time. For example, do I need to? Abel just bought a guitar. He did that. And that's okay. Okay, get the guitar, brother. But then he sets the guitar when he believes the guitar should belong in the middle of the entrance for 3 days. And I don't feel butterfly feelings. I feel dinosaurs stamping on my chest, you know. Does that mean that I don't love him? No, I love the man. Actually, I want to be married to him, and we have agreed. We're going to be married till you and I look like Raisin Bran, you know. But we're looking like that very quickly. We didn't realize how fast we're looking like that. But, I mean, in that moment, my feelings are not probably the best. But my emotion and my commitment is present. So, and I see probably Richard and Emma, you have been in that place many times, right? You see that there are times when you say, and this is my concern with the newer couples. They believe that they ground their marriage in the feeling. The feeling will come and go, guys. It's not a good place to ground your marriage. You ground your marriage in your emotion, in your belief, in saying, you know, I believe God told me to be married to this person till we are dead, and we are going together to handle everything that we face in life, good, bad, or so-so. Amen? That's how marriage keeps going. And I can assure you that in a bicultural marriage, even more, because there are times when we don't understand each other, or sometimes intentionally we don't want to understand each other. ¿Qué tienes, pelado ingrato? Ya me tienes hasta aquí. You know, many times we say things like that, and when Abel is like, what did you say? I just say I love you. You know? Anyway, so those are the things that make that difference. So what Westlake was trying to explain is we are not a denomination that is founded in feelings. There are good feelings that come, but we're in an emotion that is grounded in a truth. And if we can see what is the truth, is what it is here. Religion of the heart is the foundation of our emotions is where? In Christ. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the one that is the core of our beliefs and the core of our denomination. Let me clarify this too. What is not? It's not a faith of a pagan, Wesley said. What it means is that there are people who say, the love is good, is God, or peace is God. We don't believe in that way. We believe in the other way. God is a God of love. God is a God of peace. But it's not the attributes what we are worshiping. We are worshiping that God who has those attributes. Another thing that is important for us is we don't have the faith of the devil. He knows that Jesus is Lord, but also he doesn't follow him. We remember James in the scripture that clearly says, you believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. So it's not that kind of belief we're looking for. Neither the faith before resurrection. Because part of our strong core of belief is that the Lord Jesus Christ conquered death. So that's what we are. So what does it mean, our belief in Christ? We believe that our faith in Christ is not in cold, lifeless ideas, but in a disposition of the heart. This is exactly what we were reading today in Romans. Romans said, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, that's the feeling. That is the feeling. That's the expression. That's the result. But what is it? And believe where? In your heart. That, and this is the key thing, this is the belief that is grounding us, that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So it's not about just going with that check, okay, yes, I declare Jesus is Lord, yes, I believe. It's because your emotion is connected with that. You get it, and you say, you know, that a way that the Lord Jesus Christ saved me, the fact that he came and was able to be resurrected is not something that is just happening in history. It's something that is transforming my life. I believe it because I also am experienced. I'm convinced. And that is probably the key word. I'm convinced that that's what's transforming my life. When you are convinced of that, you are unstoppable. Because you are going to behave knowing that that is your truth. And God is going to empower you to do great things. There is one person that I am learning to admire, even though I have never met him. And that is this guy whose name is Trevor Lawrence. Do you know about him? He's a football player, high school, I think. College. They just won, right? And he was a key person for winning. But when they asked him about it, you know, this is the time that any probably young guy will look forward to be very snob and just say, you know, I'm so good. I'm so well looking. Is my hair like Samson that makes me strong? I mean, he could have played any card he wanted and everybody will listen. But instead of saying that, what he said is, it's because of God's grace, this is all possible. I want you to hear how convinced he is about his faith.
That's just kind of always been my personality. And then just growing up, my family's always like, I mean, football's important to me, obviously, but it's not my life. It's not like the biggest thing in my life, I would say. My faith is. So that just comes from kind of knowing who I am outside of that. So I just know, no matter how big the situation is, it's not really going to define me. Just putting my identity in, you know, what Christ says, who he thinks I am, and who I know that he says I am. So really, like I said, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what people think about me or how good they think I play or whatever, you know, it doesn't really matter. So that's definitely been a big thing for me, just in my situation, just knowing that and having confidence in that.
Amazing. You say, go Jesus, you know. I mean, he's mainly saying, I mean, he's very clear about saying, the aspect of sports is just one aspect of my life. But that's not the main reason of my life. My main reason of my life is that connection with Christ. In other words, he's convinced. His emotions are really strong in what he believes, and therefore he expresses that. And that's the next part about our religion of the heart. This religion of the heart has also the opportunity of transforming our lives. One of the things that Wesley will say, he says, religion of the heart is a term that John Wesley used in his writings to describe a state of possessing righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So what he was doing is he was quoting Romans 14:17 that says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." What happened is when Paul was writing this, there were many people who were saying, if I follow the right instructions, if I do the right things, then I will be safe. And there was a point when Paul told them, it doesn't matter how you eat or you drink. It doesn't matter what are you doing in that sense. That's not going to save you. What saves us is a gift from God. It's the Holy Spirit coming and telling you, you are a person that is living a life of righteousness. And that is happening because you and I are the image of God. And as that, what God is telling to all of us is, let me tell you that your life has such a value that the Lord Jesus Christ, in his love, he came to bring meaning to us. And the meaning is that you are that person who's an image of God. Therefore, you deserve to a respect. And at the same time, you have the opportunity of a life eternal through the Lord Jesus Christ. We also have as a consequence that peace that goes beyond understanding. Have you experienced that peace? Is that peace that when you are living a situation that is painful or a situation that doesn't make sense, in the midst of that, you are carrying a peace that is a gift from God? And the last thing it says, and also the joy of the Holy Spirit. Regardless of what we experience, the joy of God can be present. So this is not something about what we do. This is more about something that we receive. So what Wesley was saying is, you are receiving this. When you receive that and you are convinced, your emotions say, yes, this is who I am, as it happened with this young guy, then your behavior is different. It transforms you. John Wesley said this too. He said, "I have seen, as far as it can be seen, many persons change in a moment from the spirit of horror, fear, and despair to the spirit of hope, joy, peace, and from sinful desires till then reigning over them to a pure desire of doing the will of God." I pray that that's our testimony. I pray that many of us, perhaps we have seen those moments of darkness, but when God came to our lives, when we opened our hearts to that opportunity, our lives have been changing. The life that we have has a different value because of what Jesus is. And as this young guy said, you know, it doesn't matter how I play. That's not the main thing that is important for me. What's important for me is Christ. And you see, this also has another consequence. The religion of the heart in Christ transforms us, but also empowers us. What this is very special is that Wesley does a very unique math. This is his math. He says, orthodoxy, orthopathy, and orthopraxis work together. Now, this is for all my nerds, so you feel included. Now, let me talk on regular humans. Okay, what does that mean? What it means is that when we have the right learning, the right mind, and when we have the right emotion, the right heart, therefore we have the right hands or the right reaction or activities. So when you have a person who has been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit and that clicks in your brain, then you will reflect that in the society where you are. This is one of the most powerful testimonies that we have as United Methodists. When you have a United Methodist church, it's expected that the community around knows them because of what they do. And when they come and people ask, "You guys are very different. You get involved in the community. Why do you do that?" Then with conviction, as this young guy, we say, we do this because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has been doing with all of us. When we go to do the English as a second language classes at the Steuben Ranch and Stahl Elementary Schools, the way we tell the people who are going, all of our volunteers, we say, you know, they told us that we cannot tell them about our faith. We cannot express that. This is a school that is a secular school. But you have the authority to say that if anyone comes and asks you, why are you doing ESL? Why are you teaching? You have all the authority to say, because of the Lord Jesus Christ who has transformed my life. And we invite them to do that. This is why for United Methodists, when the Lord Jesus tells us to do this, makes a lot of sense. They ask Jesus, what are the commandments that we need to follow? And he says, two. Love the Lord your God with what? All your heart. You're convinced. And with all your soul. And with all your strength. And with all your mind. When you have that connection, as a consequence, what happens? You love your neighbor as you love yourself. So while we are praying through this time, what I pray as a United Methodist pastor for you is that you become a person that belongs to the religion of the heart, that you are convinced. What's beautiful is that it's not something that you need to reach out. You are not in charge of looking for that. It's something that the Holy Spirit already has there for you so you can receive it right now. And I'm not sure where you are in your walk with God. Maybe you are convinced already. Maybe you have been convinced for a long time that God is there with you. Well, I just pray that you will grow in that knowledge with God. I pray that your emotions will grow deeper as a marriage that has been lasting for 60 years. So you will learn that in any feeling that you have, God is there walking with you. But also if today you are here and you're saying, I'm still not convinced. I'm still struggling. I invite you just to do one thing. Just today, be open. That's it. Just tell to God, God, I'm going to try you today. And let me see what happened. Don't worry. The Holy Ghost is in charge. The Holy Spirit is in charge. He will show you his righteousness. He will give you his peace. And you will have his joy. So today, let's become people that are really people that are known of the religion of the heart. And let's all together share with the community what it is to live in that life. Amen. Let's stand up together and sing this song.